Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today, talking
sports radio on the dial. Check us out.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and it's about some football, baby. Hyped up. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, you could check us out, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Email us at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Get some of your questions in. We read them. We write you guys back. We appreciate it. And also, tweet at us at Ray and Tay Today and check out the website. Very cool, very interactive. Write us a note. See if you like our mock draft. You know, we got a couple right. We had a couple of the same picks, and, you know, we made some misses like everybody else. Nobody really got that thing perfect at rayandtaytoday.com. Ray, let them know. It's basically about the draft, but let them know how we're going to talk about this show.
Oh, we've got a lot going on, but it is largely football, so strap on your helmet. Put on your shin guards, put on your thigh pads, and let's roll.
Your blue suede shoes.
Oh, my God. Don't forget your mouthpiece now. Come on, you know, we got to protect your teeth. Anyway, we will start with breaking news like we always do. We'll run through the world sports, go through the breaking news. We'll recap the first round of the NFL draft. We'll talk about what's going to happen this weekend with still a lot of talent on the board. We'll talk about what we think is still yet to come in this 2014 NFL draft. And then we'll shift towards the end of the show. We'll shift our attention to these playoffs. We're not giving enough love to the hockey playoffs. We'll do that probably a little bit next week. But these basketball playoffs, NBA playoffs, look like a repeat of last year potentially in the NBA finals.
Spurs balling. Whew.
Yes. For sure. So we'll get some basketball talk. I know we've been getting some emails like, hey, guys, don't forget about basketball, you know. NFL draft is just drafting on potential, but this is the NBA playoff, you know.
Hey, but you know what? It's only 3 days, and we got to talk about it because it's what the world is talking about. Can I tell you already, you want to talk about some hot press news? Johnny Manziel has already gotten the Browns 1,500 new season ticket subscribers. Wow, Ray. Wow.
It's the first
I'm calling
time,
him Johnny Cleveland.
It's the first time somebody picked number 22 has had that much of an impact. You know, it's funny because they picked two other quarterbacks at 22. So it'd be interesting to see if, you know, he has a better career. Hopefully he has a better career than Brady Quinn
and
a few
Wheaton.
Other guys.
Yeah, Brandon Wheaton was the other 22.
For sure.
That's kind of ironic. So let's jump into the breaking news, man. Hot off the presses, I don't know if you heard, but the 49ers wheeling and dealing with the Bills. The Niners get wide receiver Stevie Johnson, who left Buffalo. He's gone for a fourth-round pick, which is what they put in the Sammy Watkins trade, so they get that back. But it can move up, depending on play, to a third-round pick. Sort of surprised. I don't know what you think. I'll just say real quick, to me, I would have liked to see Watkins, Stevie Johnson, and Robert Woods together with Scott Chandler to help, you know, E.J. Manuel, but maybe they'll get another receiver in this draft. And they also do have, T.J. Graham there, some young receivers, Goodwin. So maybe they felt Woods and Watkins will be sort of their 1-2 and don't need Stevie Johnson and his contract was coming up.
That was an uneasy marriage that was going on there in Buffalo. I think Stevie Johnson to the Niners is fantastic. I think the Niners do great with this, and they have so many draft picks. They're giving up a number four for a number one receiver. That's fantastic. But you know what that means? It means that they're just clearing the way of Sammy Watkins. So this is Sammy's team, basically. He's going to be the star of that team. You know, hopefully he's the next Megatron out there. Real quick, another piece
next,
of breaking news.
Andre Reed. Really?
We have a call already, but the Clippers have named former Citigroup CEO Dick Parson as their new CEO. So that's pretty interesting because he is a prominent business person in the financial community, also in the black community is a prominent former CEO. So pretty impressed that the NBA has moved so fast. Now they might get into a little bit of a mess because Donald Sterling's wife is saying you can't be guilty by association, and she wants control of the team or to retain her half of the team.
Yeah,
so
it's
going
to get messy when they start digging in her past, though, with, you know, the accusations of her going up to potential tenants and disguising herself to see what race they were. I don't think she wants to go down that. It could be real messy for her, too.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Hold on. We got a caller. I think it's
Hank.
Hank, you're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Yeah, what's up, Ray? What's up, Tay? What's happening?
Hey,
what's up, Big
on?
Hank? And the Dolphins select a third-round pick. Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
what's going on, man?
Well, we can talk about that pick later because, it's an act of desperation. And because we have a new GM, I just have to hope that he selected that guy because he's looking for a different type of lineman, right? He's a tall guy. He's like 6'6", and he's not like a guy who's going to blow you off the ball. But, you know, this, again, new GM and new offensive coordinator, forget, right? So this OC is actually used to be at the Eagles. So maybe they're looking for a different type of lineman, and that's why they drafted him that high, because they passed
the right position.
They passed on some big boys. I mean, the guy out of, what is Moses out of Virginia?
Yeah,
and
Morgan Moses and Cyrus Quandro from Alabama.
But it seems like they intentionally picked the guy who was maybe taller and athletic and not a power guy. So maybe that's by design. Look, as a Miami fan, I don't have a choice. I have to hope that these guys know what they're talking about. It looks like a terrible pick to me, but maybe it's a different style of offense, and maybe these guys know what they're doing. I don't know.
So what's on your mind? I know you got something brewing in your head. I hear it. Tell us what you're thinking.
Well, the one thing I want to mention about the Stevie Johnson trade, didn't the Bills pick up Mike Williams from Tampa also?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
So they're kind of overloaded.
Nice.
I think, you know, they're overloaded at the receiver position, and they probably didn't want to pay Stevie Johnson, I'm guessing.
No, they didn't. They didn't. He wanted a new contract.
He's a fourth-round pick because of the salary that the Niners are inheriting. So the Niners are really going for it all because you figure they're putting, I forget if it's $6-8 million in Anquan Boldin, and Stevie Johnson's probably got a healthy contract. They're getting away with this, right, because Kaepernick is making $1 million.
And don't forget Crabtree's contract's coming up, and they have the veteran Brandon Lloyd. So those are your four receivers day one, and to me, those are four guys that can all be Pro Bowlers and have been. That's pretty impressive for Kaepernick and the Niners go. And watch out today if they draft Jeremy Hill or Carlos Hyde to help Frank Gore as he ages.
Yeah,
Niners are really looking good.
They're probably going to draft a runner. But, you know, they also need a linebacker, though. They can't.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
You know, Bowman's hurt. You know, who knows with Alvin Smith whether, you know, I don't think he's going to go to jail, but he's probably going to be suspended again, right?
For sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would say four games. It's going to be fascinating.
What was your biggest takeaway from this first round yesterday?
My biggest takeaway. A couple of things, observations. You know, I found it very interesting that two cold weather teams, meaning, you know, the Browns and the Vikings, because the Vikings are going to be playing outdoors for the next 2 years.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys are for that, because they're stadium.
Oh, yeah,
tackle.
We know.
Yeah.
And they pick guys that actually don't – well, maybe Johnny Manziel can fare better, but they did not take the big-arm quarterback. So I actually think that Jacksonville kind of messed up everybody's draft boards by taking Bortles as high as they did.
Yeah, that might have been a little bit of reach. I don't know, Ray, if you're having a little static on your line. But, yeah, no, that is definitely – you know what? If he works out to be Big Ben, then, right, we can't say anything. But it could be a reach for a player that might sit for a full year. I would say he'll probably start week 10. They'll do, like, the Eli Manning, Kurt Warner thing, because I don't think they're going to go with Chad Henne the whole season. But, you know – if Bortles turns out to be legit, then nobody will say nothing. But I think Mac being there and Watkins being there, wow, it's got to be hard to not take those guys. But
yeah,
you know who's happy. I mean, Buffalo and the Raiders are really happy. Raiders got a great
Raiders
player.
Especially because Khalil Mack, who everybody had on their board as number one or number two in terms of just pro-ready and talent, falls down to five. And so the Raiders, who were thinking of trading up to get him or Sammy Watkins, end up getting Khalil Mack. So I think they benefited hugely. Oh, and by the way, Jacksonville did this totally quiet on the down low. They didn't
yeah.
tell anybody about their interest in Bortles.
Yeah, I mean, and it's almost counterintuitive, too, because Bortles, I mean, God bless him. I hope he's a tough guy because think about it, right? They still have no D in Jacksonville. They got no pass rush. And they have
and Toby Gerhardt's their running back.
Right, and they have Cecil Shorts to throw to.
Yeah.
So, you know, God bless the guy. That's just a tough guy. And he's gonna get hit a lot, you know, because I just don't see no one fears anybody on their offense at all.
No. I don't fear Ace Sanders. But I will say this. Let me say this. I do like, and you know, looking at this whole first round, the teams, you said Browns and Vikings, but also throwing the Rams, all who had multiple picks. I think the Rams did it right. And Jeff Fisher, kudos to him, and they're going to be a big player the rest of this draft with a bunch of picks. But getting Aaron Donald to go with Quinn and Long and that defensive line, and then getting Greg Robinson, you know, to deal with the defenses of the Niners, Cardinals, and Seahawks, that's how you win championships. And I think the Rams, they did it the right way. They can get a receiver tonight. They can get a backup quarterback tonight. But remember, they do have Sean Hill, who played, Yo Terps, who did play very well with the Lions and, you know, around the league. And he's a quality backup quarterback. So the Rams will draft somebody third or fourth round, a quarterback. But I think they get a receiver early on tonight, and they keep going. Remember, Zach Stacy and a lot of talent there. So
yeah.
Rams look good.
If you guys can tell me where Carr is going, Derek Carr is going, I'd love to hear it because
I think the Raiders are going to take him coming up in the second round, and Ray and I are going to talk about the best talent available. Well, the Raiders coming up, you know, they have the fourth pick tonight, and I could see them very easily taking Derek Carr. I believe Houston might go Garofalo, maybe A.J. McCarron. The Redskins aren't going to take a quarterback, and Cleveland is going to probably scoop up a receiver here at number three, Marquise Lee maybe. I could see right there at number four the Raiders taking Derek Carr, and away you go.
If you're right, and they go there, you know, one, you know, that means that I guess – your boy is only there for 1 year, and then Derek Carr takes over. But if the Raiders don't take him for whatever reason, where does he end up? Arizona? I mean,
hey, that would be great for Arizona. I thought Arizona should have picked him with 20 in the first round.
I thought
he'll go by middle of the second round. I think
yeah,
somebody would
I
trade
can
up
see. No, he won't get past the 10th pick tonight at Tennessee. Tennessee has got to take a quarterback.
Really? Okay.
That's my bet. And at worst, the 12th pick is the Rams. And they can maybe jump up and get – you know, but don't sleep. You know, last night I said before there would be 3 to 5 trades. Well, we have like 5, 6 trades last night. So there's going to be some wheeling and dealing as well tonight. And, you know, it's fascinating. And there's so – Ray and I were talking about this off air. There's so much talent just right here coming up in the top half of this second round. A lot of guys that, you know, were ranked as first-round picks. You know, not
yeah.
just the Cyrus Quandros. You've got all those receivers. You know, Devontae Adams. You've got Marquise Lee, a solid Jarvis Landry. We'll see how the running backs run out. A couple other linemen, the Morgan Moses kid, and these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Garofalo, you know, Derek Carr. Let's see where Aaron Murray goes. Tom Savage. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be really,
yeah.
really exciting. Did you like my Steelers pick? I wanted the corner, Denard, but I like Ryan Shazier, the linebacker. Not bad
well,
for
us. Here's the thing about the Steelers, what we all have to admit. They kind of know what they're doing in terms of linebackers. So I
yeah.
agree. I thought they'd pick a corner in a hot minute. But I can't really, you know, when the Steelers pick a linebacker, I just kind of have to be quiet because I'm like, yo, you know what?
They don't get that wrong,
yeah. Right?
They end up being studs, you know. Even guys who you don't know as well, they end up being studs. So I'll just be like, you know what, Steelers know what they're doing, and let's hope they can get secondary help later on in the draft.
So is Johnny Cleveland going to have a movement? Because Gilbert, I thought the Browns reached for, but getting Manziel and Gilbert and then, you know, see what they do tonight with a couple of picks, I think one or two in the second and two or three in the, you know, their five picks tonight. I think the Browns, with free agent moves, you know, I think they're going to be a lot better than people think, you know.
And
a couple
of
months ago on our show, Ray said that the Browns would get a wild card. And he said they'd get Manziel, and they did. He thought he'd get him early at four, but they got him. So we'll see what Cleveland does.
I don't think Manziel's starting right away, though.
No,
don't.
No, Hoyer's still going to start. I think Hoyer will start.
Hoyer just has to – he could play, but the problem is you just got to hope that he doesn't get hurt again. Because if he gets hurt again, then it's over, right? Hoyer's basically done. It's over. But let's be surprised.
Right, though. His ACL injury happened early enough that he should be able to be back. And I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to humble Johnny Manziel a little bit, have him hold the clipboard, and then start him.
Also, just learn the game. You know, put on some weight, learn the game. You know, get your footwork down, get your reads down.
I think
it's perfect.
Should go through that. I mean, even Andrew Luck, and maybe Andrew Luck's a different animal because he's a four-year starter at Stanford and his father was a quarterback. But short of that, you know, every quarterback coming in should – it's like 10 or 15 years ago. They should hold the clipboard and at least for half a season be a backup and not start.
Yeah, some teams I don't think they can because they just don't have talent, you know.
The irony of this all, right? Three quarterbacks in the first round, and none of them will be starting week one. You know? Castle's going to start, Haney's going to start, and Hoyer's going to start for those three franchises.
That's okay.
You actually think
No, I think it's actually smart. I think it's totally smart. No, Castle will start for the Vikings, yeah. I think Castle will start. They'll let Teddy, you know, get himself together and stuff. Hey, Hank, before we let you go, two quick questions. Do you think that possibly the Titans might have got the steal of the draft and the big lineman, Taylor Lewan, dropping down to them? He's from Cave Creek out here in Arizona. And then also, how nice is it for Josh McCown to wake up this morning and say, you know what, I left Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, and now I'm throwing to two other Giants in Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans?
Well, a couple of things. The Taylor Lewan thing surprised me because, you know, for the Titans, that offensive line is kind of the strength of their team. So they just picked another big, nasty guy to go in there. You know, they've got to pick up a running back because maybe they're just like, look, if we don't have a quarterback that strong, we just won't throw. I mean, their offensive line is now – like, just ridiculous. It's almost overkill.
Yeah. And I think their tackle's 32 years old, so it's probably a perfect pickup. And then maybe tonight at that 10th pick, they get Carlos Hyde or Jeremy Hill, Trey Mason,
Exactly. But, yo, that's another – your point about the Bucs, though, you know, Lovie Smith is going to descend to just be the savior. They're going to put a statue of homeboy, you know, right next to – right next to Mars Venus in Tampa, you know what I'm saying? Because his squad is looking really good. You know, he got the old guy to come in at quarterback because he hates to turn the ball over, not because of Mike Glennon and what his, you know, potential is. They're going to play old school, you know, old school Bears football. They're going to run the ball. They're going to have a ridiculous D, and they're going to win some games.
And
their
running game is fabulous. I mean, you figure if they get Doug Martin back, and even their number three, Rainey, they were all producing.
Yeah,
so
James and Rainey, yeah.
Yeah, weapons on offense, a young stud tight end in right, the two studs out there on the wing. If they can just keep their quarterback upright and healthy, this team can make the playoffs.
Yeah, and it's going to be old school Buck football. They're not going to throw the ball that much. They're just going to run it down
guys'
throats and stop people. It's going to be really fun to watch. Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
Well, thanks for calling, Hank.
Yep, you guys.
We'll catch up with you and see what happens tonight, man. And we'll, you know, tune in on Monday. We got a little draft review and a young gentleman called Randall Cunningham joining us.
I'll be there. This is gonna be interesting to hear from him. Yeah, I want to hear from him.
Yeah, should be awesome.
Take care, guys.
All right, Hank. Thanks for the call. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're moving
along.
We
got another caller
in the queue. Yeah, we got another caller in the queue. Caller, you're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Hey, Ray, it's Oren. How's it going?
Hey, Oren, what's going on, man?
What's
up,
man?
It was a great draft day yesterday, man. I'm happy for my Niners. Look like we're trying to make some more moves. We need all we can get.
Oh, yeah, Stevie Johnson traded big. And you got your corner and you got Stevie Johnson. I mean, Niners are looking good.
Well, let me ask you, were
I'm
you happy
that
with
get...
that pick? Did you think it was a little bit of a reach? I mean, this guy wasn't projected necessarily in the first round.
I think that, you know, what he's going to learn from what we have is going to make him what we need. You know, I think that was good to get somebody that can study from the from who we have now. And he's going to be a little understudy. He can start to get in there after about a year and start to see where he can produce some dividends. I really like the Stevie Johnson pick more than even well, no, we need a safety. We've got to get more defensive-minded. But I like the Stevie Johnson pick. I think that was a great steal.
Yeah, Jimmy Ward's a little small. That's my only concern. But I tell you what, Stevie Johnson has produced, and I think that he just needs a change of scenery because there was something off in Buffalo. And I think with you pair him up with Crabtree and Goldman
Yeah, Ray, you're kind of breaking up a little bit. See if you can get in a better spot. But you're right, Jimmy Ward is definitely, you know, he's got a little size issues. I thought maybe they would have taken Roby there, but Roby's got some off-the-field issues. So, you know, they get that pick. Maybe they could have gone with a linebacker or, you know, someone on the defensive line, maybe the Coney Ealy pick. But, you know, hey, it's good. And Stevie Johnson, listen, if you're lining up with, you know, Vernon Davis, Stevie Johnson, Crabtree, Anquan Boldin, and Brandon Lloyd, and Frank Gore, I mean,
exactly.
And that's power, you know? That is offensive power, and Kaepernick has got to be just, like, cheesing today. So, nah, I think it's great. What are you looking for tonight? Do you want a running back? Would you like a Jeremy Hill, a Trey Mason?
Trey Mason, man. I mean, how can you go wrong with the son of somebody from De La Soul? I mean, you know, hey.
There you go.
DJ
Mason,
right?
Yeah, Ray, what'd you say, Ray? You call him plug four?
Plug four.
Yeah. I mean, he's a beast. I mean, I've seen him play.
No,
he's
he
a
is.
Beast. We need somebody like that because it'll give Frank Gore some rest. I mean, Kendall Hunter, he's good, but he's not the power back. And Trey
Mason.
Yeah,
and he's not
back.
Explosive. I think Trey Mason has a potential. I mean, look, we saw him against Alabama and we saw him against Missouri. And in the championship, this guy is explosive, Trey Mason. He's bringing it when he runs. It'll be fascinating to see. It'll definitely be fascinating to see. And what'd you think, though, before we let you go, Oren, tell us what you thought about, you know, Cowboy Nation. Johnny Manziel's on the clock, and Jerry Jones resisted. And I'm sure a lot of the Cowboy fans, you know, were kind of happy he did. What do you think about the Browns finally scooping up Manziel 22?
I think the Browns did that just to sell some tickets. I'm not really sold on Johnny Manziel, honestly. I think that he's a great college quarterback, but somebody had a good – I can't remember who said it, but they had a good analogy of him. He reminds him of a Michael Vick type of person. Not as fast, but, you know, a quarterback that has a play on it, that has to do create a lot of plays. The problem with quarterbacks like that, they get hit. He's not big.
Right.
And I think he's not going to he's going to get burned at Cleveland, but I don't know how long he's going to last in a season. And once he takes that real pop from an NFL player, I want to see how he gets up. Let's see it, but you know how it is with quarterbacks. It could be the person nobody thought about turns to be the best quarterback of all of them.
That's right.
That's true. Johnny defense, though, I will say he played in the SEC for 2 years, never missed you know, missed a couple plays here and there, but pretty much was there for every game and every practice. So he'll learn to dodge the big hit if he's able to learn that, I should say. Then I think he has the potential to really be an impactful player. I don't think he's, you know, Peyton Manning or Drew Brees, but I think this guy can win some games and can lead you to the playoffs.
Well, you know, I guess I'm a little – I got to see him – I really want to see him play a couple of games. I guess to me it's you know, I'm not saying he's not a great talent. I just wonder how he's going to translate into the NFL. I just think that the style he plays, that works in college because, you know, people are scrambling around. But in the pros, they're gonna get you. And, you know, that's not good. I mean, hey, you know, look at RG3. He's a fast quarterback, and he gets cracked. The next thing, he's out for a couple of games. He reminds me of somebody like that. You know, you're only good if you could play.
Right.
Well, you know, he should follow the blueprint of Russell Wilson because Russell Wilson does it the right way and is very smart, maybe even Kaepernick. Look, you'll see Kaepernick run for 11 yards and he gets out of bounds. You know, only
exactly,
one who
yeah.
stays and takes the hits, really, and abuses guys himself is Cam Newton, and he's a giant, so he could do it. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Orin, thanks for calling, man.
I see the Niners going to Super Bowl, man. No problem.
Yeah,
man.
Listen.
Listen,
I think your Niners have got they're making a statement, and let's just see what they add tonight and tomorrow. But, go Niners.
Yeah. All right, I'll talk to you guys on Monday.
All right,
thanks, Orin.
All right. Okay, bye-bye.
So, Ray, I got to ask you, the start of the night, what were your thoughts? Obviously, you felt it would be Clowney and Robinson, but once it played out that way, what was your feel or, you know, the most interesting part of the beginning of the draft?
So I thought that the Blake Bortles going to Jacksonville, I get it. I understand. They need a quarterback. I'm not that sold on Bortles. But if you want to take him in your system and work with him for a couple of years, and then maybe he's a bona fide starter, he's got all the physical tools. Plus, he's 2 hours down the road, so you got to believe that once they knew they weren't going to be good, they probably scouted this kid. So they've seen enough of him to say that they like him. I didn't know that he was, you know, a number three overall pick, but when you need a quarterback, you go get yourself a quarterback. So once that fell into place, I thought to myself, wow, our mock drafts are going to be shaken up a little bit. And then Cleveland was smart enough to read the market, because I think Cleveland wanted, and their owner for sure, Jimmy Haslam, wanted Johnny Manziel. But they read the tea leaves enough to know that they could get him in the 20s. So,
and kudos to Farmer, a new GM, and we got to give him credit. He had a great day yesterday.
Great day. I don't know about trading up from 9 to 8 to get the cornerback that people had, you know, projected to go a few rounds, a few slots.
Right,
but
right.
Put that aside to get a number one to trade out of 4 and get your quarterback. That's fantastic. So I give him an A++ on the first round. And then, like,
and you know what's
said,
nice about that? You have 2 corners, and Hayden and Gilbert.
And
you
they
know,
play
and
the
that
same way they play press. You know, press man coverage, and that's not what Marcus Dennard plays, for example. So they wanted two
Dark
guys
plays.
That
stylistically
play the same way.
No, I definitely agree with you on that. I want to ask you, though, what's the thought with the Giants and Beckham? It's not like a surprise. You know, obviously they have Randall and Cruz. They lost Knicks. You know, they signed 4 offensive linemen in the offseason. Giants got like 15 free agents up there with the Bucks and stuff, signing the most people. Do you think, I think it's a great pick, but do you think that that's the right pick, the right time? Is Beckham, I think he's going to be a stud. That was interesting. It felt like they took the Jets player.
I wouldn't have done it if I was the Giants, but Ebron was taken, so your impact tight end wasn't there. And maybe they felt that they didn't have an impact defensive player out there. And here's my subtle commentary on the Giants. The Giants have to make a big decision on Eli Manning. So Eli Manning at some point is going to want to continue this contract where he's one of these top 5, you know, highest paid players. And I've never been a huge Eli Manning fan. But I do have to give him all the credit in the world for those two Super Bowl runs and being a wild card and winning, what, five or six road games in the run to the two Super Bowls. So the Giants need to decide if Eli Manning, despite the fact that he threw 27 interceptions last year, led the league in turnovers, and he's done that twice in his career, is one of these guys that you can extend for another 3 to 5 years. So what they're doing is doing the Peyton Manning approach, which is give him all the tools that you could want on offense.
He's not going anywhere, Ray. I got to tell you that. You know deep down. You don't just find quarterbacks like that. And, you know, Ryan Nassib is the backup, and they picked up another veteran offseason.
But here's what I'm thinking. You know, what they basically said is Peyton Manning, you could argue he never had the best defense, but he always had tools on offense. So the Giants are saying the same way, you know, we're committed to this guy. We need to make a decision end of next season, but let's give him all the tools that we can get for him. And he's got some tools now because I think Randall is a star wide receiver. But if you
he had a big
Randall,
season last year, Reuben Randall. They do need a tight end though. That's the one thing I would say, and maybe the Giants, you know, can pick up one tonight. Maybe we could find out, you know, from our guest George Reister, who the Giants could pick up. I think the Jace Amaro kid is probably going to go early this round. And then Safari Jenkins, the big kid.
They also need a tight end, though. I'm sorry.
They need a tight end.
No.
But remember, the Giants, they signed four linemen, and they got a whole new secondary. So with Prince Amukamara, they also have DRC and Thurman, Walter Thurman from the Seahawks.
Yeah.
So I think the Giants, they need a linebacker.
They need a linebacker, need a running back, and a tight end. I mean, I think that – today, in the second and third round, I think the Giants are going to address two of those three needs. And then we'll see. The other thing is with so many new players coming into camp, Giants are going to have to build that chemistry all over again and that identity.
Yeah, no, definitely. So being a Cowboys fan, let's talk about it, man. Zach Martin, what'd you think of the pick?
Jerry Jones made a good football decision. I think that if you put $55 million into Tony Romo, you have to support him. And one of the ways you got to do that is with an offensive line. You have decent talent around him on offense, although they need to figure out who's going to be across from Dez Bryant and how many years Jason Witten still has. But you first thing you have to do, especially your 30-plus-year-old quarterback, you got to protect him. So it's a solid, safe pick. Johnny Manziel was there because I know they were flirting with Manziel in Texas. And maybe if this was next year or the year after, I would say definitely take Manziel because you need an heir apparent. But I still think that if he stays healthy, Tony Romo can give you three more good years. So I think it was a smart pick, it was a safe pick, and it was a football pick and not a marketing-related pick.
Right. I also want to talk to you about two other picks. I think the Vikings did, like I said, the Vikings, Rams, and Browns with the multiple picks. I think the Vikings did really well. I actually like Anthony Barr, and at number 9, I think it's good quality. He's got, in this draft, he might have the most future potential because he's just learning the position. He's going to get bigger and stronger. And, yeah, this first year he might not be the greatest player, but he's got a natural speed and, I think, ability to get to the passer. And the Vikings lost Jared Allen. I think they need to be able to, you know, get a pass rush. And I think Anthony Barr and then Bridgewater, I think the Vikings had a very, very positive night. Be interested to see what they do. They don't have a second-round pick. See what they do in the third round. But I like what the Vikings did. What do you think about the Lions? Eric Ebron, the big offensive tight end from North Carolina, not a blocker, but they already have two tight ends in Pettigrew and Furia, the big kid. It's 6'7".
Fourier, yeah.
So,
see, the thing
yeah,
is,
Fourier, yeah. So a third tight end.
So those guys are big red zone targets, and Fourier is basically a position player, you know, in the red zone. I think he caught seven touchdowns, which from a tight end is a big deal. And I think your boy dropped too many passes. So I think
Pettigrew, he kills me.
Yeah, Pettigrew dropped too many passes. I know all you guys in fantasy that had him, we're just off. Every week we're a little disappointed. But I think this is Ebron completely bold. I mean, ultimately, you know, he by the middle of the season, Ebron's the starter. Ebron plays. He's a playmaker. He doesn't. He's not quite, you know, run after the catch like your boy Vernon Davis from Maryland, but he's a complete pass catching tight end. Now, having said all that, I wouldn't have done that if I were the Lions. The Lions still have major issues in the secondary, and I think that Stafford's got enough tools. But think about this though. Think about if you're talking fantasy and you want to lick your chops. 2 years ago, Stafford threw for 5,000 yards. So think about this. He gets this kid Ebron, and he gets your boy
Golden
Seattle,
Tate.
Golden Tate.
That's
a nice, two nice additions to a team that's already got a solid offense. So if you're Matt Stafford, who just signed also like Tony Romo a big contract, you got to be real happy right now. Now you got to tell the team, go take care of my defense.
And I think Caldwell felt that, hey, I had Dallas Clark and I had these weapons, and this is the way that I can control, you know, with the middle of the field and having Reggie Bush and Joique Bell, and then you've got Ebron, who will probably wind up being the number one, but they could do two tight ends, you know, do two tight ends with two receivers and Bush out of the backfield. You know, they have so many different options in terms of formations and stuff. It's going to be hard to cover, and even Pettigrew is still a decent weapon. He holds on to the ball, and you got Pettigrew and Ebron, Reggie Bush out of the backfield, and then Tate and Megatron. Oof. I mean, Stafford shouldn't have that many bad decisions this year. Because, you know, when he gets his interceptions, it's because he's just throwing it up for grabs to Megatron all the time. Well, I think Caldwell will give him some discipline. It's going to be exciting. I think Lions fans should be licking their chops.
Here's one thing to think about real quick. Charlie Strong, give him credit, because he was at Louisville for 4 years, and some of these guys he recruited, you know, if you're a redshirt senior, then – you know, you were recruited by the former regime, but Charlie Strong got three players in the first round. So obviously Teddy Bridgewater at the end of the first round, but he also got two other Louisville players. So he got Marcus Smith, the linebacker, who went to Philly, and then he got the safety going to the Jets. So he got the Calvin Pryor going to the Jets. So three Louisville Cardinals in the first round of the NFL draft.
No,
that's
I think it's
awesome.
You're right. It's great for their program, and that was really, really fascinating to me. The Eagles, they trade, you know, out of that pick. I kind of wonder though. Two guys, like you said, Marcus Smith. Did they sort of reach for him? We'll have to see, you know, how he turns up in that system. You know, it was more of a 4-3. See if he plays in a 3-4. But then also, looking at what the Cardinals did, they trade down. They don't take Derek Carr, but they get Deion Buchanan, and he was sort of projected as a second-round pick. But if him and Tyrann Mathieu work out together as the safeties, that's pretty nice with Cromartie and Peterson. The Cardinals could have a Legion of Boom-type secondary. And then Kelvin Benjamin. I think finally you get a toy for Cam Newton. And this kid is, you know, a one-year starter, but I think he's only going to get better, and he's a big target. No little Steve Smith. This is nice for Cam Newton. What do you think about those two things?
Yeah, so I was a little disappointed in Arizona. I thought that David Carr was sitting right there. Now, maybe they trade up and get him in
your boy
the 30s.
Derek
Carr, sorry. Maybe they trade up and get him in the 30s, because I don't think that Houston, with all that baggage from his brother, can take another Carr. I think it's unfair for the kid. The fans will be all over him. Like you said,
right, good
care.
Point.
So I agree with that 100%. But this kid, so I was actually disappointed a little bit in Arizona not picking him up, but you know, maybe they can rectify that in the second round, or maybe they have plans on Garoppolo or Mettenberger or somebody like that. Logan Thomas later on. But Kelvin Benjamin was interesting because I knew, or we both thought so, but you know, we thought that the Carolina would take a wide receiver. So that's not completely surprising. The question is, there were a bunch of wide receivers out there, but I guess they had for years gone with these small wide receivers, and like you said, specifically Steve Smith. So
right.
to get a big wide receiver, I mean, is he the next Mustin Muhammad?
Well, he's real big, 6'5", gosh. And, you know, I think George should be coming in with us soon. What did you think about the Chiefs? Not taking a receiver that they needed. They got a pass rusher. They lost one in free agency. Getting D. Ford. I like D. Ford's motor. I told you he'd be up in that first round. I just thought the KC would take a receiver. What do you think about Andy Reid and his pick?
Yeah, well, I was a little surprised by that. You know, I thought we both had the Chiefs taking a receiver. They need a little bit of help there, punch on the outside. But you know what? Andy Reid knows what he's doing. I mean, he can coach offense, so I leave it up to him, you know, to make those decisions. Kelvin Benjamin, you know, I got to tap myself on the back. I predicted that. You know, I thought that Carolina needed that big receiver, and they got who they had their eye on the whole time. So,
well, we got our guest. Let's see what George Reister thinks about the Jaguars in the first round and how everything went. George, you with us on Ray and Tay?
How's Oni?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hey, George, how you doing? Welcome to Ray and Tay.
Doing pretty good. How you doing?
All right, great. Well, what'd you think?
Well, you know, there's a couple things. The first thing I would say is I'm happy on one side of the coin that the Jaguars took, that they didn't take Johnny Manziel. But then on the other side of the coin, I'm not that happy that they took Broyles.
Right.
Because, you know, that you really want to get a proven quarterback first and foremost. And Broyles has accuracy issues. He has, like, he hasn't been, even though he played in a pro-style offense, he hasn't been just a lights-out passer and shown that he's that kind of guy. So I'm not sure if you want to draft a guy that high. Like, I think a safer pick, because they needed a safe pick, because you've seen they've reached up and drafted guys like Derek Harvey, Matt Jones. And some other guys that haven't paid.
Blaine Gabbert. Even Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, even Blaine Gabbert jumped up and reached for a guy. So I think that it was important for them to take a safe pick, but then also a pick that was proven. You know what I mean? So I think that, you know, that they had an opportunity to at a couple other guys, like Khalil Mack would have been a good idea, but they did have you know, they did have some issues as far as, like, on offense. Offense was a bigger need. But then, even more importantly, they could have drafted Sammy Watkins,
yeah, absolutely.
When especially with the with Blackman being suspended, and, you know, they only have basically Cecil Shorts at the receiver position, and they could use a downfield arm and make it work with Henny, because Henny is at least serviceable. But then you draft a guy, Broyles, who's probably not going to be ready to play on opening day. And a lot of people point to Ben Roethlisberger, but when you look at Ben Roethlisberger's rookie year, he wasn't good.
No.
He was not good. They won the Super Bowl, but when you look at his stats, their defense was excellent. They could run the ball, and they ran the ball very well. And the reality
Tommy Maddox got injured too.
Exactly, and they won the championship not because of him. They won in spite of him.
Exactly, and I'm a diehard Steeler fan, and I can admit to that. But if he turns to be anything like Big Ben, they finally might have got their man. George, let me ask you this, though. Sort of two things. But, okay, so tonight, the first pick, they pick number 7 tonight, the Jaguars. What are you looking for the Jaguars to take?
I wouldn't be – they need a running back, first and foremost. I mean, they at one point in time, they had a guy that I was playing with, and who's essentially a fullback who started a game for them this year and almost rushed for 100 yards. So they definitely need a running back.
You like Carlos Hyde?
Hyde is a good running back, but I think they need to get some speed in the running back position. But this is obviously not the draft class to get that. There are so many needs. And a lot of people are pointing to them on defense, but in reality, last year their defense was actually pretty good. Even though they gave up a lot of points, their offense was so terrible that they kept putting the defense in bad positions. They would turn the ball over in the red zone.
Exactly.
They would throw picks. They would fumble, and you can't expect the defense to keep stopping teams when you're playing horrible offense.
So, George, what do you think about them taking Marquise Lee, who was projected to be a first-round pick, the wide receiver from USC? Could you see the Jaguars scooping up Marquise Lee there tonight at number seven?
I don't think he's going to be there at number seven. I think you're going to see a rush on those wideouts pretty quickly. I wouldn't actually be surprised if you see some trades. Trades in the beginning of this second round, because Marquise Lee is going to be a hot commodity. The Houston Texans are they need a quarterback, but at the same time they need a wideout as well, because DeAndre Hopkins I have a lot of question marks about him. If I could get a kid like Marquise Lee, that could potentially give you a pretty fantastic wide receiver trio.
A little bit a la the 49ers, what they just got with Stevie Johnson coming over.
Wait, excuse me?
I said a little bit like what the Niners are doing, building up that wide receiver core, right? They just added Stevie Johnson today.
Oh,
yeah, they traded with the Bills, and the Niners now got Stevie Johnson.
You see, and that's another thing. Like, you knew that was going to happen, once the Bills took Sammy Watkins, the writing was on the wall as far as Stevie Johnson. Stevie Johnson is a pretty good wide receiver, and I think he's going to fit really well in San Francisco because it gives them a little bit of speed on the outside, and he's been a very productive receiver at the same time.
So, George, we wanted to both talk to you about your draft story, but before we get into that real quick, I'm sort of curious with this. The Giants draft 11 tonight, and they need a tight end. Who would you take? Would you take Safarius Jenkins? Would you take Jason Morrow? I mean, who should the Giants grab if they are looking to get a tight end at number 11 tonight?
Well, it depends. I spent a little bit of time in New York as well with Coach Coughlin. And the offense that they run there, Safarius Jenkins fits their system better than Amaro does. But their offense is not the way it is now. Is not necessarily set up for a tight end who is not fast. So I think that Amaro would actually be better for them wanting to stretch the field. But as far as the things that they ask their tight ends to do sometimes in the blocking game, in the run game, is not necessarily conducive to what Amaro does best. But then Safarius Jenkins, he's not necessarily the most fleet of foot guy. I think that when you look at him, you're looking at Pettigrew or Mercedes Lewis all over again.
Right. No, that's a good point.
You know, that's a great point. Hey, and George, take us through a little bit about what you went through in draft day and getting that phone call and having the Jaguars on the other end of the line. And what's that whole experience like, the build-up, the phone call? What do they say on the phone call? How was all that for you?
Mine was a little bit different. So kind of start – I was projected to go second, third round, and I started getting calls at the end of the first round, and Kiper had me as the 32nd best available player, and everybody else expected me to go in the second and third round, and I kept falling and falling and falling. I saw five tight ends get drafted before me, and I actually had a chance to speak with Bill Parcells and a couple other GMs, and it's funny because they took Whitten that draft, and Dallas Clark was the first pick draft to the Colts, the first tight end chosen in the first round to the Colts, and I had a chance to talk to a couple GMs, and they told me, they said we actually had you rated higher than a lot of guys, but we didn't take you because we thought you had character issues. And,
really?
And that was kind of that was kind of crazy to me. I had never been in trouble a day in my life. But it's kind of the one of those guilt by association things. My roommate was Ontario Smith. He had some run-ins with the law. And my other roommate and my other roommate who ended up playing at Sammy Parker, who ended up playing in Kansas City for a few years, had a DUI too, and it was just. You know, even though these were my best friends, and we were just being college students, and I never got in trouble, but I was, you know, part of the process because of, you know, things that went on with them. But
that's fascinating.
Yeah.
So when
and
you got
so
the call, George, tell us how the call went, because that sounds pretty amazing. And did you think it'd be the Jaguars at all?
No, I thought it could be because I actually took a trip. One of my trips was down to Jacksonville, and I had a private workout with them as well. It was a relief when my name finally got called. But I had to go to sleep. Back at that point in time, first, second, and third rounds where it was a 2-day draft. So the first, second, and third round were on the first day. Second day, I was the fourth pick of the second day, and going to sleep that night was very, very difficult. I was very, very upset. But once my name finally got called, it was a new head coach, so I was very, very excited, and I was happy to know exactly where I was going. But at the same time, a lot of the guys that I trained with, I was happy to be I was happy for them as well. I mean, you look at guys like Kyle Bowler, who I trained with, Marcus Trufant, Rasheen Mathis, Tyrone Calico. It was just Teo Johnson. It was a lot of us out there. And Eugene, that played for the Patriots. It was a lot of us out there. So it was exciting for me, but it was exciting seeing where they were going and seeing all the guys that we trained with, successful things happen for them too.
That's awesome, George. That's a great, brings it to reality. So what happens? So you're in college, you're a college student, you get this call, and then I forget how training camp works, when you were drafted, which wasn't that long ago, but did you then go for a week or two to Jacksonville, and then that was
OTAs. It was pretty immediate, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, I came out as an underclassman. I came out as a junior. And when you're a junior, whether you're a junior or a senior, unless you've graduated, you can't actually start OTAs until your school gets out.
Oh.
So,
wow.
And
okay.
We're on a quarter system, so we didn't get out until the middle of June. At that point in time, you were allowed to go for the mandatory mini camp, which was the week after the draft or 2 weeks after the draft or something like that, but then, which was the beginning of May. And then I didn't go back to Jacksonville until the middle of June.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's
so you can't actually go to where you've been drafted. Other than for like 48 hours, how you see the guys are doing the press circuits, the first round draft picks, they're doing the press circuits in the cities that they got drafted in.
Right.
They're only allowed 48 hours to be there, but then they can't go back and start actual workouts until school starts, until their school lets out, unless they're seniors and they've graduated already, which is pretty much nobody.
Right. Wow. Oh, great.
Okay. All right, George. So, well, you know, that's great to hear, you know, the breakdown and stuff like that. Before we let you go, last question. Did the Texans get it right by taking Jadeveon Clowney? And then tonight with the number one pick, who do the Texans take? Do they go for the quarterback, and which one would it be?
I definitely think that the Texans took the right guy. They're not taking Jadeveon Clowney would have been a huge mistake. Although, listen, this kid, because of his work ethic, is going to determine how good he can be. Because when you look at him, this kid has the physical attributes, and he's shown on film that he can be a game wrecker. So you're either looking at Vernon Golson from Ohio State, the bus.
Oh, don't talk to me about that. I'm a Jets fan. We're Jets fans. Oh, that kills me.
Listen. You're either looking at Vernon Golson or you're looking at Bruce Smith. There's really not, or like a John Abraham or something like that. You're not really going to get too much out of the middle from him. If he plays hard, he works hard, then you're going to get a great player. But if he just, provided he stays healthy, of course. But if he doesn't, you're gonna be looking at, you know, Aaron Maben, Aaron Curry, Vernon Golson.
Yeah, nah. I think you're right. I think he's going to be on the other side. I think he'll be the Bruce Smith. Let's think positive.
I want him to do well because it's good for football. It's great to watch. But, you know, you do have to take notes, take stock, and be realistic with what he's shown us on film. He's shown that he can be a game wrecker and a great player. But at the time, he's also shown us, I can
feel too. Right. Well, I think we might have lost George here. George, you still there?
Hello?
Yeah, we're still here.
Yeah.
Who will the Texans take number one tonight? Will they go with the quarterback?
Oh, I think it's going to be hard for them to pass up. I know they were heartbroken by not being able to get Teddy Bridgewater, I know that much.
So do you think it's Garoppolo?
I wouldn't go with Garoppolo. If I were them, I would either go with Mettenberger if they really want to energize their fan base, do you know what they could do? They could go with Derek Carr. Some people said that they would want to stay away from David Carr because of the stuff that happened with his brother and all of that. But if I'm the Texans, I know the kid can play. He's proven he can sling the ball. He's proven he can sling the ball around, has great arm, and can make great throws. But when I think about it, I look at the success that his brother didn't have, and a lot of it was not his fault because he got sacked so much.
Oh yeah, that's a terrible offensive line.
Exactly, and you look at that, and what do I say from that if I'm the Texans? I'm saying, okay, he's got a brother who can teach him and show him the way and show him what to do and what not to do to be successful in case some bad stuff starts happening to him. So that's one thing in his favor. Number two thing in his favor is I'm the Texans. I'm saying, all right, we didn't put David Carr in a position to be successful. This is our chance to make good for our fans, make good for David Carr. Derek Carr would buy that. I promise you, if they draft this kid, that they will turn around and galvanize the community. Their fans will rally around it because they want him to be successful because nobody calls Derek Carr a bust. They call him a quarterback who ended up in a terrible situation.
Right,
and it's
for
not
David.
His fault. And it, yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. It'll be fascinating to see. Thanks so much, George. We appreciate it. It was great talking the draft with you, man.
Yeah, appreciate the stories and the insights.
All right.
All right. Have a
talk
good
to you
weekend.
Soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Real quick, the show is basically running down. Tonight's going to be awesome. I'm excited. What do you think in the NBA playoffs? I mean, we do have to touch it a little bit. I mean, it's 2-0 for the Heat and Spurs for these other two series tonight. Do the Wizards go back home and take the lead? And do the Clippers go back home and sort of get their game, you know, going again since they did their job with their split?
You know what? I think both of those series get split. I think OKC wins one in L.A., and I think that even Indiana, I'm hoping that Roy Hibbert turned the corner and they win one in Washington. So I think both of those series go to 2-2 at the end of this
weekend.
Two games in in Washington and in L.A. And as for the other,
and then Brooklyn can, over the weekend, can Brooklyn wake up at home, and can the Blazers? They're looking like they're going to get swept. Gosh, can they get it together against this veteran team?
Brooklyn might win one, but they could easily get swept. So Brooklyn's going to lose 4-1 or 4-0, I think. I think they win one, though. I think they have enough pride that they, all these old guys rally, and Joe Johnson puts up, 35, and they win
one.
Yeah,
Darren Williams has got to play better basketball, though. He's got to.
Portland's in trouble, but I think going home, Rip City, they shot terribly, and San Antonio shot great. So I think if you come back to normal, Damian Lillard's going to have a great game. So I think Portland wins one, if not two, at home. But I think they'll split at home and then eventually lose in San Antonio. But I think Portland wins. If Portland wins two at home, we're right back to where we were, and then momentum will be on their side. So that's a great home court they have there. But the Spurs are the best road team in the NBA.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, you know what? We got to give a congrats to the MVP, Kevin Durant, and I would say that was probably one of the best speeches and MVP speeches and heartfelt speeches we ever heard in the NBA. I thought that was really classy, a Maryland kid. And then Sixth Man of the Year, even though he didn't, he started 23 games, they give it to Jamal Crawford again. It's sort of a weird award at this point. I think the NBA, I don't know how long they're going to keep the award going because it's like, it's hard to figure out who's necessarily the sixth man. But Crawford is definitely, even though he started a bunch of games, when he was coming off the bench, he was definitely the sixth man. So that's, sort of the award season. What do you think the Warriors are going to do? Are they going to hire Thibodeau if they can get him out of that contract? Stan Van Gundy, Steve Kerr? What's going to happen with Golden State in the coaching position?
I don't know. We'll have a lot more playoff talk and a lot more NBA talk on Monday after Randall Cunningham. But I don't know what Golden State's thinking, frankly. Mark Jackson, whether it's personality-wise or scheme fit, Jerry West didn't like him. So I don't know what Golden State wants. Do they want a defensive coach, an offensive coach, a yes-man coach? So I really don't know. I don't have a good sense of what they want.
I'll tell you this, though. They got to be careful. You go from Mark Jackson to Van Gundy, and if Van Gundy comes in and starts rubbing the star players the wrong way, that could backfire, and then the Warriors could wind up losing some of their free agents when guys come up. They got to be really careful with this hire because the best players really did like Mark Jackson. So I think the owners have got to be careful here, especially with a young team. It's not like veterans.
Sure.
It's young guys, and young guys are going to be like, yo, you got rid of our guy. You better hire. And then in L.A., Kobe's like, hey, I want to be a part of hiring the new coach. Well, guess what, Kobe? You're only here for 2 years.
Exactly.
I don't know about that.
You could want whatever you want, but we're going to hire who we'd like. So we had a great show.
Nah. Definitely. And look out for a couple more trades tonight. And I'd say, Ray, I'm going to give you a little prediction. I don't think the Texans take Derek Carr. Might go with Garofalo, Murray, or Mettenberger. But I will say this, in between the second and third round, I'm looking for about 5 to 6 running backs going. And should be interesting where Marquise Lee goes.
Yeah, I like him. He was a first-round talent going into this year. I had predicted that he could even win the Heisman Trophy. So, a lot of fun this second and third round, quicker moving. But there's going to be a lot of trades. I think Houston moves down. I don't even think they take a pick here. I think they move down, and then end of the second round or third round, they go get themselves a quarterback.
probably the best idea, get some more talent, because they have a lot of holes. It's not as – I think Houston and Atlanta, they were bad last season. It wasn't just a fluke. They need some players, even though they're very good teams. They need some players. So we'll be back Monday, special time, 3 o'clock, with a special guest, Randall Cunningham, former All-Pro quarterback for the Eagles and Vikings, and we'll talk a lot with Randall Cunningham. Can't wait for that. Great show, and have a good weekend, man. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I jumped the gun last Friday, but you know what? You could wish Happy Mother's Day to mothers. They deserve it every Sunday. You could say it, right?
Yeah, especially Kevin Durant. He said it perfectly. But we all got to do, you know, our share for our moms. And so Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. You're the best.
Definitely. All right, we're out. Talking sports with friends.
See you.